Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report, another week of the program. All-Star Week as well. Going to have a lot of fun with that. The Indiana and Kentucky Basketball All-Star Series this weekend. Friday night at Bellarmine, a doubleheader, girls, boys. Saturday night at Bankers Life, a doubleheader. Don't forget the exhibition game for the Indiana girls and boys is Wednesday night at New Albany High School. So if you can't make it to an All-Star game, but you can make it to New Albany Wednesday, there's an opportunity to see Romeo and the All-Stars this year before they head to face Kentucky this weekend. It was a very, very busy weekend on the Big X. We had tons of play-by-play coverage from IU baseball, from high school baseball across the area. Lee Kelly and I, on Saturday, we started our day Saturday afternoon in Evansville, where Jeffersonville was a 4-0 winner over Franklin Central. The Red Devils looked good. They advanced on to the championship game that night. And, of course, Castle came from behind, scored the final 5 runs of the game to pull a mild upset over the Red Devils and end their season. It was a Jeffersonville team that played really well, got better as the season went on. And I was really surprised that they struggled a little bit offensively, I thought, all day after scoring 4 runs in the bottom of the first inning against Franklin Central. They were able to get some on the board again against Castle in the championship game. But consistently throughout the lineup and throughout the games, it wasn't the Jeff team that we saw in the sectional and in other big games this season that was able to consistently put a couple runs here, one run here, maybe more than a couple here across the plate. I know obviously you take a step up in competition as you advance on in each round, but Jeff's season came to a close. We packed up quickly at Bossy Field and made our way as soon as possible to Evansville North. The 3A sectional hosted by Evansville Bossy was played at Evansville North, and it was crazy because of some overnight field conditions, rain and forced bad field conditions. The semifinal games were forced back later in the day, which forced the championship game to an 8:30 start was when it was scheduled. I don't even think the second semifinal got over until like 6:30, 7 o'clock, which wasn't a lot of rest for some of those teams. But with that said, the championship game was pushed back to a 9 o'clock start and then a 9:30 start because of lightning. So they had all kind of problems at Evansville North just trying to stay on track, but able to get it in. We raced from Bossy Field to North and were able to join the Silver Creek game in the bottom of the second inning, and the Dragons got a big win. They've been to the regional a number of times in recent years. I think I saw 6 times in 8 years Silver Creek has been in the regional. Finally, they're able to win it. They did so in a big way, advancing past Evansville Memorial. And Silver Creek, when it's all said and done, they will be the only local team still alive in high school baseball. Jeff was defeated in the championship game. 2A regional, Clarksville was defeated in the semifinal. 1A regional at Jasper, locally, Borden was defeated in the semifinal. So just one team remains, Silver Creek. I said I would be disappointed if we didn't have at least a couple teams move on to the semi-state. I thought it was that kind of year in Southern Indiana baseball with individual standouts and good teams that I thought for sure Jeffersonville and Silver Creek had really good chances. I could see Borden with a chance, Clarksville probably less of a chance than anybody to get on to the semi-state round, but really surprised that we enter next week with games at Plainfield and games at Jasper with only one local team remaining, and it's the Silver Creek Dragons. So busy day. We'll talk some baseball throughout the week, get you set for Silver Creek's semi-state game. They will play Indian Creek on Saturday afternoon at Jasper. We'll have that game live here on the Big X Sports Radio. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham. And joining us here on this Monday program, once I go through some headlines here in a few moments, will be Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk some IU stuff, baseball and basketball, with Zach when he joins us today. Also later in the program, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSA board member. He will join us as well as we talk Southern Indiana sports, talk a little bit about the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series coming up, and more. That's a look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at the Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. A lot of stuff out there. I said it was All-Star Week. All-Star Week actually got started on Saturday with the Indiana-Kentucky Junior game. The Kentucky versus Indiana junior girls and boys teams played Saturday afternoon at Trinity High School. A lot of big names on the junior roster. Keon Brooks did not play in the game on Saturday in the loss. It was actually a 113-109 loss for the Indiana team. Neither did Trace Jackson Davis as well. So two of the big guns from the state of Indiana, two IU targets, not getting any action. There were some others missing as well from the core group of junior all-stars, but still, Indiana very competitive, and they were led by a local boy, Kobe Barnes, who played outstanding. He was 11 of 23 from the field. He was 8 of 17 from two-point range, 50% from three-point range. He knocked down 3 of 6 attempts. He also hit 5 of 10 free throws. 30 points for the Floyd Central Highlander Barnes. He, in addition to 30 points, had 15 rebounds as well to go with his point total. Played a lot of minutes and a great performance for him. Again, he's one of the locals next season that will be asked to step up and be a headline player in Southern Indiana basketball. And with a 30-point, 15-rebound performance in a junior All-Star game, that's a big way to get your senior career started with an All-Star-type performance. So great job to Kobe Barnes for 30 points and 15 rebounds. Kentucky was able to get the win. It was an overtime game. I wasn't at the game, obviously. It was in Evansville for baseball, but I heard that not only did Barnes play well and score a lot of points and grab a lot of rebounds, but he hit a couple of big shots down the stretch to help Indiana even get to the overtime period. So that was the result on Saturday. The Indiana girls, they swept the series. They won both Saturday and Sunday. The Kentucky boys came back on Sunday at Ben Davis. They won the Indiana side of the game as well. So the Indiana girls sweep the junior series. The Kentucky boys sweep the junior series. And again, some of the key names missing from the game, so I don't think it's necessarily a true reflection of what to expect in the All-Star Series next year. Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks, again, those are the two big names that were missing. In the Sunday game, Armon Franklin of Cathedral, he was there. He scored 21 points, one of the top scorers for Indiana. But nonetheless, Kentucky, the boys team, they get two victories this weekend over a collection of Indiana juniors in that series. Again, All-Star stuff all week. Jim Shannon will be the coach. They leave he and Romeo and Sean for the All-Star game on for the All-Star practices that begin on Tuesday. And then, of course, the game is Wednesday, the exhibition game, and the series between Kentucky, the seniors, is Friday at Bellarmine and Saturday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. So it'll be a busy week, plenty of basketball to talk about, to preview, to review as the week goes on, and look forward to getting back in the swing of things from a basketball perspective. A couple other notes. Robert Phinisee, speaking of All-Star games, didn't play a lot of minutes but was the leading scorer in the Hoosiers Reunion All-Star Classic at the Knightstown Gymnasium. That's the iconic film Hoosiers, the home court for the Hickory Huskers. Phinisee, 18 points, 5 assists. His team was winners, 142-136 over the other team. Romeo Langford was at the game but did not play, was an honorary team member watching from the bench. Also, Luke Goman of Floyd Central, he was selected to play in that game, got an opportunity for a little All-Star basketball for him as well. A couple other notes, Big Ten coaching news out there. This one caught me a little bit by surprise. We mentioned a rumor a few weeks ago about Tom Izzo. There was a rumor he was interested in the Orlando Magic job. Obviously, that proved to not have any merit, have any legs to it. But this is confirmed from ESPN. It happened on, I think, Thursday or Friday of last week. John Beilein from Michigan, a great coach, interviewed for the Detroit Pistons open position, head coaching position. Actually, it was on Thursday. That's a bit of a surprise. I see Beilein as a college guy all the way. Hard to see him in the professionals, but he's done a terrific job at Michigan. And of course, he did a good job at West Virginia, but not someone you think of that would entertain interest or maybe have aspirations to get to the professional level, but obviously he potentially does, interviewing for the Detroit Pistons job on Thursday in Michigan. Couple other notes, baseball, Silver Creek, I do want to go through their wins over the weekend. 6-4, they were winners over Batesville in the first game. Again, that game was pushed back later in the day because of weather and field conditions at Evansville North. Tyler Wheeler was the winning pitcher in that contest. Home run, a big one from Tyler Capus, which helped Silver Creek take the lead in the top of the seventh inning. Also in that championship game, Silver Creek was a winner 7-1 over Memorial. The Dragons started off with a 2-0 lead, tightened up a little bit in the third inning. 2-1 was the score. And over the final three innings, Silver Creek scored the final five runs of the game, just as Castle did against Jeffersonville, to go on and win 7-1 and claim their first ever regional championship in baseball. In the night game, the championship game, IU recruit Sammy Barnett the winner. His record improves to 6-1 on the season. And I tell you what, Barnett obviously will be needed for the Indiana team next season, but the rest of the way this season, I'm talking about potentially the one game at Semistate that will happen on Saturday and potentially a state championship game the following Saturday, with two great pitchers like Wheeler and Barnett, a one-game set this weekend, a one-game set the next weekend. You no longer have to have multiple games in the week, let alone multiple games in a day like the regional format. Big advantage to Silver Creek to have such two 1A, 1B stud pitchers like that available, and I look for Silver Creek to have a great opportunity to advance on this weekend. The Dragons, regional champions at 27-3 on the year. They'll take on Indian Creek on Saturday. That is the Semistate at Jasper. That will be the location of that game. The expected start time is somewhere around 3 p.m. And again, we will have the pitch-by-pitch coverage of the Dragons at the Semistate this weekend. Of course, we'll also have some all-star coverage from the Indiana-Kentucky series as well coming up later in the week. Also, Jeffersonville, I mentioned that they were defeated 6-3 by Castle in the championship game. Jeffersonville scored three runs in the bottom of the fourth inning. At that point in the game, they were up 3-2, and it looked like through the fifth inning, even though the lead trimmed down from 3-1 to 3-2, it looked like they might have an opportunity to win the thing. And then a big, big sixth inning for Castle. They scored four runs in the top of the sixth inning to take control of the game, and they were able to hold off the Red Devils the rest of the way over the final two innings to go on and punch their ticket to the Semistate game as well. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill. It's where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. IU baseball was eliminated last night from the NCAA regional. We'll start with that. We'll get to some basketball topics, and then Chad Gilbert will join us later in the program today to talk Indiana, Kentucky All-Stars and more. A lot of stuff coming your way here on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He's the IU insider for the Star, and he joins us Mondays here on the Hoosier Report radio show. Zach, Sunday started off as a great day for IU baseball, at least at first. They were winners 9-7 over Texas A&M to stay alive. And then Texas would have been tough to beat them twice and win the regional. Texas doesn't give them the opportunity to play twice as they defeat Indiana 3-2 in a nip-and-tuck game to eliminate Indiana as the Longhorns go on to win their own regional.
Yeah, and fair warning this week, I've literally got my son in my arm, so he may sneak onto the show here at some point.
Great.
Either with
we welcome a
coo or a cry. But, you know, I mean, it was, and look, I've seen Indiana lose regionals from the winner's bracket. It's not like it's unprecedented. But I did think watching that game Sunday night and the quality of Texas's starter, it's a reminder of how much more work you create for yourself when you have to go through the loser's bracket in a regional like that. And Indiana got an outstanding start from Andrew Saulfrank. You know, that was, frankly, the Andrew Saulfrank that I thought could be a real kind of ace up the sleeve for IU this season. And I think Indiana's pitching depth was really on display, having to go through a few pitchers Friday night and then Sunday against Texas A&M to kind of hold them off in the comeback. And then, you know, Saulfrank and Tommy Summer and just kind of everybody they rolled out last night. But it is, like I said, it's just a reminder that you create a real steep hill for yourself if you lose, particularly if you lose on Friday, and you just have to shift into kind of survive in advance mode all weekend. And I know Indiana had some chances to drive in runs there in the eighth and ninth that they'll probably rue, and it's, you know, there's no shame in losing a close one to a team like Texas, but you do, if you're Indiana, maybe walk away from that feeling just a little bit unfulfilled, just a little bit like maybe there were some opportunities that you didn't take advantage of.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, we're talking IU baseball to begin the segment. It was a season of some ups and some downs. Indiana was predicted, I think, to be in the regional, to maybe have a chance to go on to a super regional. They obviously fall short of that. How do you rate this season as you take a look at it from start to finish?
It is a weird one. I mean, in one respect, you know, it was Chris Lemonis' first 40-win season at IU, and, you know, it was only the third 40-win season of achievement at that level in Indiana history. I think there have been some other seasons where Indiana, you know, won a lot of games but didn't really ever turn that into kind of postseason success. You know, this season, in one respect, it really was, you know, maybe kind of at least baseline what you would have expected from it, knowing how much Indiana was bringing back, knowing all the talent that they could put in the field. In another, you know, they started 28-6. They ended 40-19. So, you know, you can kind of do the math, and it was a tougher maybe back half of the season than front half of the season. I'm not sure the lineup ever totally came together the way I thought that it would. Now, a lot of that has to do with Luke Miller missing a hefty chunk of the middle portion of the season because of an injury. But it's weird. As somebody who can remember a lot of much lower level baseball from IU's perspective, you know, even going back to my days at the student paper at IU, the Indiana Daily Student, covering baseball when it was at the old Simbauer Field, and they were just happy to be making the Big Ten tournament. It feels strange to say that a 40-win season is a disappointment, and I don't think it was a disappointment. But I do think maybe this was a team that, for a variety of reasons, maybe didn't hit its ceiling like it could have. You know, if I'm not mistaken, they were Big Ten favorites in the preseason. They finished fifth there. I know they were disappointed. Chris Lemonis was very open about his disappointment with their performance in the Big Ten tournament, and then to get a two seed in a regional like Texas, it's always going to be tough to get out of. But I think you saw them after, you know, just a really ugly Friday. You saw them go toe to toe with Texas A&M and Texas on Sunday and show their quality. And maybe just a feeling that if they could have put a little bit more in at the front end, they might have been in a position to be in control on Sunday rather than having to kind of chase and hope and then figure out what they would have done if they had one Sunday night. So I think a very good season, but also I don't know that you would be out of place if you as an IU baseball fan felt it was a season that still left a little bit of something on the table.
Zach, I've said this, and I think you and I maybe have discussed this before, but college baseball, the World Series, the Super Regionals, I know it's a little slower time right now, not as much basketball, the finals, NBA finals, maybe beginning to wrap up here soon. But college baseball, it's a sport that I really didn't begin to appreciate here until the last 2, 3, 4 years. But I look forward to this time of year. There are some really good games that, of course, some good regional games, but the competition takes a big step up with the Super Regionals and then, of course, the World Series.
Well, and also, too, you know, you and I live in a part of the country that I think has really kind of awakened to the sport in the last, as you say, 5, 6, you know, 7 years with Louisville's emergence, Indiana's emergence. You know, I'd throw Illinois in there. Purdue has had some really good runs, including obviously making it to a regional this year and pushing Minnesota all the way to the Big Ten tournament final. I mean, look, you know, where I grew up, down south, college baseball was on TV every weekend in the spring and summer. You know, I mean, you had the old, I think it was called like Comcast Sports South, used to broadcast an SEC game basically every Friday and Saturday night at a certain time of year. Once, you know, as you said, a lot of the other sort of sports calendars kind of dried up, and there wasn't really that culture up here for a really long time. You'd have teams that would have success, and certainly you'd have the pockets of sustained success like Bob Todd at Ohio State, but you weren't having teams that were maybe consistently pushing NCAA tournament bids, regionals, hosting regionals, obviously in Louisville's case, getting to Omaha a few times, and building, frankly, what is, it should rightly be described as a powerhouse program. I think all of a sudden college, just a culture of interest and excitement in college baseball in the Midwest, and probably in particular this part of the Midwest, seems to have really kind of exploded on itself and created something, I think, a little bit more lasting and permanent around here.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach is with us Mondays on the show. Cliff Marshall, the strength and conditioning coach for IU men's basketball, switching gears here, tweeted out yesterday a picture with lightning in the background of Assembly Hall with the message, the calm before the storm, T-minus 12 hours until Indiana men's basketball kicks off the 2018 off-season training program. I know some of the freshmen, incoming freshmen, will not be there until after the All-Star festivities this week, but I think all, if not most, of the returners back on campus, and now we get to see Coach Marshall, who already from his pictures had some improvements in some of the players' bodies and their physiques already in the spring, will be back at it today.
That's typically the way it works, is that the veterans report first. It's funny because I think football often kind of works the opposite way, where it seems like they bring the freshmen in first and the veterans kind of come trickling back in. But in my experience, it's always seemed like with basketball, the veterans come back first and get started a little bit earlier. And, you know, to your point, some of them never really leave. I don't think Juwan Morgan left Bloomington beyond, you know, NBA workouts. I'm sure he went home for a little while, but I think a lot of guys keep Bloomington as home base. It sounded like Deron Davis stayed again this summer. You know, I think Devontae Green stayed part of last summer before what you would consider the mandatory stuff. And then the freshmen always roll in the week after Indiana-Kentucky All-Stars. And some of that's going to be dictated by when they can enroll, because you have to have enrolled to be able to participate in full team activities. But it suddenly is that time of year where it always seems like that sort of end of May, for everything other than maybe college baseball and the NBA draft, everything around college sports in the end of May just sort of feels a little bit like the malaise. There's just a little bit of a break. You know, college football rosters are scattered. College football assistant coaches are out on the road. Again, basketball is maybe gearing up mentally and physically more for a strong June and July. But it always seems to surprise when you hit June and the athletes start rushing back into Bloomington, and suddenly summer starts to feel a lot shorter than it really should, for the fact that you've still got a couple months left to go. So, I mean, not long now before Indiana is really going to be in the full swing of all off-season activities, open gyms, you know, strength and conditioning, even some limited work with the coaches, you know, on a weekly basis, working with players and individual stuff. I mean, we are in the thick of what you would consider the off season now.
Absolutely. And I guess Cliff Marshall's official title at Indiana is Director of Athletic Performance for Indiana Men's Basketball. It's amazing. You know, it used to be obviously the head coach in college basketball at a high major program in the Big Ten Conference, all of them are well known, and the assistant coaches, as recruiting has become more mainstream and you track what coaches are involved in the recruitment of different players, it feels like now you know a lot more about assistant coaches than what we ever have in college basketball. And now coaches are strength and conditioning, athletic performance, whatever you want to title the job, even at schools, they're becoming more important. And every school, especially the bigger schools, the top programs in college basketball, getting their own sport-specific trainers. It's amazing. That's kind of, I don't want to call it a fad, because I do think it's something that's long-lasting and probably very worthwhile, very important to the development of these athletes. But that's become a big part of the recruiting process. Those coaches have become a big part and a well-known face to these college basketball programs, including Indiana.
No question, you know, because I think it becomes part of the sort of the conversation about, particularly if you're, let's say you're a player like Romeo Langford, or even let's say a player like, you know, Yogi Ferrell, who probably wouldn't have been one and done, but you could certainly have imagined by a certain point in his career, Yogi Ferrell would have a professional future in the NBA or somewhere else to think about. It becomes part of basically the conversation when recruiting those players about how you're going to get them ready for the next level. You know, that you've got, you know, this person whose credentials and bona fides are spelled out in these ways that can work with them on their strength, their explosiveness. You know, one thing I always tell people, and I bring up Ferrell again, it seems like when we use the word athletic in basketball parlance, we're talking about people who can jump really high or very explosive vertically. There's a whole lot more to athleticism than that, and I always use Yogi Ferrell as the example. That kid could play 40 minutes a night. That's athleticism. His short space quickness was second to none. That's athleticism. And when, you know, that's the stuff that'll get you into the pros just as much as having a 43-inch vertical or a 7'6" wingspan or whatever. And that's the stuff that a guy like Cliff Marshall's building. And so when you, it's funny, I talked to him not long after he came in last summer, right around this time, maybe a little bit earlier than this. And you talk about those pictures that he puts out about kind of, you know, the changes in guys' bodies. He said the reason he does that is because he wants guys to see the results for themselves. He wants to give them kind of clear markers and indicators that say, this is where I was, and because of all the hard work that I did, this is where I got to. And I think it's also probably a little bit of a rolled into part of the recruiting package in terms of saying, you know, this is what you might look like when you come in. This is what we're going to have you looking like when physically and just sort of athletically when you've had a year or 2 years in our system. And then when you couple that with the fact that, you know, Indiana didn't seem to have a lot of late season injury breakdowns last year. It didn't seem like fatigue was a real issue toward the end of the season, at least not physical fatigue. Then you can kind of point to a system that says it's going to get you ready for this level. And it's also going to have you playing your best basketball at the right time of year to showcase you and then get you ready for the next level as well. It's very important.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star. All-Star Games coming up this week, this weekend, always a fun series. And as we've previously discussed, I feel a little bit more interest with Romeo and from the IU fans in the state about this series between the two historically strong high school basketball states of Indiana and Kentucky. So it should be a good one, and I think everybody is ready to see Romeo back out on the floor playing. He, you know, played his high school season through, went straight to the, I call it the national circuit of all-star games, like the McDonald's game and the Jordan game, did not play in the Hoop Summit game because of an injury, but back at it after a little bit of a break to recover and I'm sure do some individual work and get ready for his college trip to, or I shouldn't say trip, but his college career at Indiana.
Well, and I know you and I have talked about this too in different ways, but I can remember a time where the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series, both juniors and seniors, you know, where basically it was relevant to cover not just the Indiana-Kentucky games, but also the Indiana junior-senior games because of how many prospects IU had. I mean, I'm talking just from my perspective, obviously not my counterpart at Purdue or Butler or whomever, but from IU's perspective, there were 2, 3, 4 guys on each team that were either prominent IU recruits or commitments or signees. And that hasn't been the case as much in the last, you know, 2 or 3 seasons. It's not been a series that had quite as much IU relevance as when you had, you know, Cody Zeller and Austin Etherington against Yogi Ferrell and Jeremy Hollowell, or with Remy Abel on the other side, that sort of thing. Suddenly you kind of have that again. You know, you've got three guys on that Indiana All-Star team that'll be coming to college together. You also have, and I know it's not maybe as publicized or at least kind of as hyped, but you also have that junior-senior series. There's going to be some guys on those junior teams that if they're full strength, Indiana's got some serious interest in 2019 as well. And I think it's always good when there's a strong sort of IU and Purdue feel to those games, at least, again, from the perspective of somebody in my job, because it just lends them a little bit of interest and energy that I don't think they'd have otherwise. And that's not putting anybody else down. It really isn't. But I just think that there's, when you fans talk so much in this state about kind of the symbiotic relationship between the different levels of basketball, high school to college, college to pro, and what it means when you get, you know, really meaningful crossovers. And I think IU and Purdue just, you know, really lead the way on that. Butler too, probably, to be fair.
Absolutely. And I'm curious, kind of following up on what you said, at the games this week, the scrimmage Wednesday night, the game at Bellarmine in Louisville on Friday, and of course the Bankers Life game in Indianapolis, what type of turnout Indiana fans have. I get the feeling that you'll see a lot of cream and crimson in the building supporting Romeo Langford and some of the other IU interest on that team.
Oh, I think you absolutely will. And, you know, I know you said that it seems like there's been an uptick in interest on the side of the game that's annually played in Louisville. Before I went back on paternity leave, I kind of poked around and I couldn't get specific numbers, but I got a sense that there was maybe a little bit more energy around the one up at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. And I think the other thing that also helps when this does have a strong IU flavor on the senior side is that you know that these guys are going to play in these games and then basically just head straight to campus. So it almost feels like kind of the last page turned before they just become part of the program and part of the overarching narrative of IU basketball, not just sort of what's in the future, what's waiting and around the next corner. And I think particularly with this strong senior class led obviously by Romeo Langford, I think you're going to see a lot of interest.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, always with us on Mondays. Zach, congratulations to your little one. He passed the test. We didn't even know he was with you during this interview, so he might be a radio natural. He knows how to be quiet when he's around the studio.
Well, I've spent about half this just with my finger on his pacifier, holding it in his mouth. So he's had a little bit of help, and he's actually looking a little bit upset now. I think maybe he realizes the interview's over and he hasn't gotten any word in. He realized he lost his chance.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure sometime will come in the future when he'll chime in with some thoughts.
Oh, we welcome that, Zach, and appreciate, as always, your time here on the program.
No, thanks for having me, as always.
All right, we'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert. Chad is the Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSA board member. Always fun to talk some local sports headlines with him to start our week here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Stay with us for more coming up next right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on a Monday edition of the program, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director and IHSAA Executive Board member, is with us. Chad is with us every Monday to talk through some local sports headlines to get the week started here on the Hoosier Report. And Chad, no matter what sport we're talking about, of course we're going to talk some baseball and a little basketball today for sure. I'm reminded, like I was Saturday night, watching a very good Jeff baseball team get clipped down in Bossy Field and watching Silver Creek get past Evansville Memorial. But this time of year, as softball and baseball wind up, I'm reminded about great basketball teams, great football teams from the area. It's very hard to get to the semi-state round, even with a great coach and even with great players, and it's next to impossible to get to and win a state championship. Those are things that sometimes you don't even really think about when it's going on, but you look back and think, gosh, what a great team that was that maybe had a chance and didn't make it or had some unfortunate luck. But no question about it that to get to that state finals, even to the semi-state round, which is the final four in the class system that we have currently, that's a big accomplishment and a very tough thing to do.
Oh, there's no question about it, Matt. But before we get into that one thing, you know, props to Zach on that one. No, his kids are well-behaved. I couldn't take my kids to Arby's. They're so wild and crazy, especially in the summer. I got great kids, but, man, for his baby not to be crying and all that, that's big props. But, no, like you said, you're right on point, man. You got to be good, and you've got to be lucky. And luck plays so much a part of it in any sport, especially in baseball. I mean, you can hit the ball right on the nose, you know, right at somebody. It's just the craziest, you know, it's the craziest game out of all of them when it comes to that luck. But you've got to be good, you know, to be in the game, and you've got to be lucky. The team I won it with in 2011 was not the best team I coached at, Jeff. It was a very, very good team. It was outstanding players who worked extremely hard. I mean, we're 28-2. We were daggone good. But, I mean, talent-wise, we probably had more depth on other teams than what we had on that team. But we had a team that played together, played well, and put themselves in the best chance possible to be successful, and we caught a break along the way. You know, going into the final week of the sectional that week, we get beat by Seymour. You know, New Albany comes back and beats Seymour that year, and that gets us into the conference championship, and then we win the sectional and go on from there. So, you know, you've got to be good, and you've got to be lucky with our boys' teams. Columbus North was really good that year in the regional, and Franklin Central beat those guys, and then we had our way with Franklin Central and Evansville-Harrison. You know, Evansville-Harrison, we're without our second leading scorer. And we clip them. Drew Ellis goes nuts and has 25 in the first half. So, you know, you've got to be good and you got to be lucky. And that's a big part of it, but that's what makes it so special.
With that New Albany State Championship team a couple seasons ago, I think back to the Seymour Regional, that morning game against Bloomington South that goes to overtime. Of course, New Albany able to prevail, but not before some very close moments there in that morning game against Bloomington South. I'm sure Doc Nash, going back to his Borden State Championship team, could recall some scary moments, some lucky moments maybe in the 1A state tournament that year. And again, there's no question, as you mentioned, you got to catch a break. We'd be lying if we didn't say luck played a little part in it.
No question about it. You know, and even look at this year, you know, I know that Warren Central wound is still fresh, but, I mean, look at that one. And then the Romeo's freshman year where New Albany had Wrights on the ropes, you know, early on, you know, starts out the game 18-1, and Wrights, you know, should have won state that year. They got beat by a very good Homestead team, which, by the way, you know, everyone remembers Biggie that played for Purdue, but then another guard on that team, correct me if I'm wrong with this, but he was playing for Missouri this year. So, you know, that yeah. Homestead team was no slouch. But, you know, that Wright's team was very good. You know, they've got that kid who was at Evansville who just transferred to Missouri. The Stanford kids at over there in one of Ohio and had
Toledo.
A great year. He had a great year there, and Alex Stein's on pace to be one of the best players ever in the history of USI. So, great teams, you know, great players. And, again, like we talked about, you got to be good and you got to be lucky.
Absolutely. Joined by Chad Gilbert. Chad is the athletic director at Charlestown High School, also a member of the IHSA Executive Board. Indiana, Kentucky, All-Star. Well, before I go to that, the reason I brought all this up about the state tournament, a little bit of luck, how hard it is to get past the regional round, hats off to Silver Creek and Joe Decker. They have had all kinds of success in high school baseball. They have been to the regional, I think, 6 times in 8 years, and finally they get one on Saturday down at Evansville North. So let's take a moment to talk about that and congratulate the Dragons.
Oh, no question. You know, well, and the thing, it goes back to what you talked about. Batesville had them beat. They had a big 7th inning, come back and beat Batesville. And that's one of those games that you got to get over the top. You get over that one game, and you're going to advance. It wouldn't surprise me at all if Silver Creek is in the state finals. And that's, you know, they had to get past that one game. And they did that. And they're Silver Creek's loaded. They're well coached. They up and down the line can put the bat on the ball, and then their pitching is outstanding. So, you know, they're a very good team, and their record shows that. And they beat very good teams. So, you know, they've got a chance this weekend. But, again, it's one and done. You know, baseball's a crazy game, and hopefully we're watching them play in Victory Field next week.
Chad Gilbert joining me. Indiana, Kentucky All-Star Series is this week. That's a series you know something about. Not a lot of time for practice. I had a chance to catch up with Coach Shannon earlier this morning, and he's trying to get things prepared and ready for their first meeting on Tuesday. They did have a little mini camp of sorts a few weekends ago where I think almost everybody was able to attend and get some work in, a double day of practices, two practices, one day. But it's a series that, you know, these all-star games where defense isn't played, where you like to see, you know, some of these players, I think, back off so the other team can get a dunk and keep the fans into it. That's not this type of all-star setting. There's not many all-star settings like what one would get the chance to play in between the Indiana and Kentucky series. It still means a lot. There's a lot of bragging rights on the line. The two states have a lot of history, both in high school basketball and in the success of their state colleges, like Kentucky and like Indiana, and, of course, Purdue and others in Indiana as well. And it really means a lot. So a little bit of time to get ready. Some big games this week coming up. I don't know that, though, for me, I'm looking forward to any point more in the All-Star festivities than seeing Romeo Langford and Sean East return to New Albany High School for one more game, even though it's just an exhibition game, even though it's not against Kentucky, one of the two big games in the series that will take place over the weekend. Looking forward to seeing both of those young men back in the doghouse where they accomplished so much over the last 4 years.
Oh, and that's great for them and Coach Shannon to be back home for one more farewell tour, almost, you know, to say, and they deserve that. They've had outstanding careers. Coach Shannon's done a great job with them. And make no mistake, you know, Coach Shannon's had those 4 years have not been easy. You know, it's been a circus around that whole deal, and that has not been easy. You know, I'm sure he's glad that things will get back to normal to an extent, but, you know, for those guys to be able to come back home in the All-Star game, and that's going to be a heck of a game, you know, just to touch base on that one. The juniors, if the juniors have everybody there, I would guess the juniors might have a little favor on that one. You know, if you had a line on it, I mean, it's going to be a good game. And plus, the juniors have already played. They've got an exhibition under their belt as well. And I think they've met a couple of times before this where, like you said, Coach Shannon just, you know, he's had one time at training camp up until this point where it's going to be a little different game. Now, in my mind, there's no doubt that they're going to sweep Kentucky. But, you know, that Wednesday night game at New Albany is going to be outstanding if all the juniors are there. That'll be a great thing for the fans to see. And you'll come out, there's going to be some pros on that court Wednesday night. That's going to be good. I hope Donnie Underwood has the rims tightened up and an extra backboard in case one breaks during that game, because it's going to be a lot of dunks, a lot of getting up and down, and a lot of fun. But, you know, you talked about the All-Star game. Back in the day, my dad used to take me to the All-Star game. We'd go to Louisville and eat at the Blue Boar Cafeteria. We'd go to Freedom Hall, and it would be packed. You know, I can remember seeing Rex Chapman and Belton Spencer on the same team. You know, they played Roger Harden, and Scott Skiles were on the same team. You know, I can remember seeing those as a kid. And it was a two-week event back in that day, and it would be played at Freedom Hall on the Kentucky side, and they play at Market Square on the Indiana side. Channel 4 would always have the game on the Indiana side game. And it was great. You know, it was a two-week thing. And I thought that was great for training camp because kids would get to know each other a little bit better. Coaches would get to know each other. This, man, it's just bang, 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 and you're going. And I get it. You know, coaches got to coach their team in the summer. And then kids are going away. You know, I would guess Romeo is going to be gone after Monday, and he'll report to IU and be right in the mix as soon as it starts. So it's a different ball game, but the All-Star experience is great. It's something I hope the kids know what a big deal it is. I know the coaches do know what a big deal it is, and I hope they get a lot of fans out there, you know, one, to see a great game, and two, see those three guys off, let them know how much Southern Indiana's appreciated them.
Yeah, and, you know, the All-Star game, obviously we talk about the rivalry that's there, the pride between the two states, and we'd be lying if we said that some of the memories you recalled about going over and seeing some of the great players still existed on a year-in and year-out basis. The crowds have dissipated a bit, but the interest is back up this year with Romeo and some other local players involved, and just kind of what's happened in recent years to kind of maybe regain some interest in high school basketball here in the area. But the crazy thing about the All-Star Series for me is nowadays, and I guess it hasn't always been this way, but for a number of years now it has, when these guys get done, and I'm talking about Romeo and a lot of the guys that are committed to D1 schools, when they get done on Saturday night at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, some of them will leave straight from there and go to college, or maybe go home for a night, leave on Sunday for college, because most, if not all, those guys that are playing Division I basketball, Division II basketball, they've got to be there Monday for summer school. That's when that next session starts. They get an opportunity to get some early credits, and a lot of the strength and conditioning programs for incoming freshmen begin that week as well. So checking into the dorm, getting a tour around campus of where their summer classes are at, meeting with the team, maybe for the first summer meeting, the full team. A lot of the returners, like IU Case, are already back and starting this week. But meeting with the full team, open gyms, open court with the full team, a strong weight program, nutritional changes on your diet and what you eat. So many changes from that Saturday night when we sit there and watch Romeo and the rest of those guys play, and that next Monday morning will happen really within a 48-hour or less period, which is just really intriguing to me.
They're going from playing basketball for fun to it's a job now. And you know, being the summer, that's a good time to get acclimated. You know, you're going to see your living arrangements. You're going to get to know the guys. And, you know, you're going to get to work out. You have some class under your belt, where as opposed to showing up in August and everything thrown at you at once, you're going to have a chance to see what it's really like. But, I mean, it's like you said, they're not going to go up here and do 25 push-ups for conditioning and a lap around the track. You know, they're not going to be shooting, playing horse in their individual workouts or knockout. These guys are getting ready to see what it's all about. And it's going to be something that it separates the men from the boys. And that's where, you know, there's a time, I always tell kids up here at Go College, there's a time that you're going to say, this isn't for me. And you got to fight through that. You just got to keep pushing, keep grinding, and keep fighting through and plan on putting in 12-hour days. But enjoy it. There's nothing I'd rather do than go back to college. You know, it's the best time of my life, and I'm sure these guys, I hope they had the same positive experience as what I had.
Talking with Chad Gilbert here on a Monday edition of the program. What else this summer do you look forward to? High school sports in the book, All-Star Series coming up this week, NBA Finals, they might be over soon. I think Golden State has an opportunity to sweep or win that one in five. Anything else? Are you a college baseball guy? We talked some about that in the last segment with Zach. What else stands out to you over the summer months to get you through until you're back in action as the Charlestown Athletic Director and meeting again with the IHSA board?
You know, one, we've got a lot of stuff still going on. We've got graduation up here Saturday. Softball finals are at Purdue this weekend. I'd like to go on to that, but we have graduation here. We'll be in the state finals at Victory Field. One thing, I went to the state finals at Bloomington this weekend. Awesome. You know, I got to present the Unified State Track and Field Championship Trophy, which was awesome. And then kid on the boys' side, we had a lot of local guys here, you know, guys and gals who represented Southern Indiana well. Guy from Plymouth jumped 7'4" in the high jump.
Wow.
You know, the meet record was 7'1", and, you know, 7'4", I mean, you're talking Olympic stuff there, so that's unbelievable on that type of stuff. Great athletes up there, hosted at IU. One quick story on that one. Went up early, hung out, got to go see some buddies and do some things in there. Went to Knicks one night, you know, I'm sitting there, we have a room for 30 available, and a guy just happened to sit across from his name's Chuck Crabb. You know, he's telling stories and going through, just interesting guy, you know. And so I'm just picking his brain a little bit. I said, man, this guy's got some great stories to another guy. He said, he's the IUPA announcer. And so, you know, being involved in that and sitting across the guy who's calling out, you know, basket by Romeo Langford, you know, or on the football field, you know, calling those things out. It's just an awesome experience to get and to hear those stories, the behind the scenes up there is just unbelievable as far as that goes. But one of the things in Bloomington, we were there with the Buffaloes one time, and there was a Indiana calendar. You remember the old Indiana calendars where the guys' faces are kind of painted and drawn in there?
Sure.
And that's what makes – where I'm going in this is the Indiana kids are playing the All-Star game, going to Indiana. I looked at that poster, and there was Pat Graham on there, Greg Graham, Calbert Chaney, Todd Leary, Matt Nover, Damon, Pat Knight, Chris Lawson, all Indiana guys, which if you went back and looked, I would bet they played for the Bloomington AAU team back then, which, you know, Bloomington AAU team was the squad back in the day. And,
Bloomington Red.
You know, yes, I would guarantee that those guys were all on that one. And those guys were all Indiana All-Stars. That's what made that stuff good. And I see Coach Miller doing that at IU. I think that's going to bring excitement back to everywhere. You know, the other guys on there were Reynolds, Meeks, and Anderson, you know, Illinois guys. So it was a region that Indiana recruited back then, and I think that's what makes it exciting. And I think that's what makes the Indiana All-Star Series exciting. I think there's going to be a buzz around Indiana basketball this year. So that's going to be fun. But as far as the rest of the summer, I'm not like you. I'm not up there on Sunday nights putting ice in the buckets, getting the concession stand ready, other coaches traveling all over the state. Well, you guys are doing that. I'm going to be by the pool and, you know, working on the tan. There's stuff I have to do up here. I've got my obligations here at work that I've got to do, but we're working ahead on that one, working on next year's stuff and wrapping things, double and triple checking. I do have one thing with the IHSA. We're going to Chicago for some national meetings, which will be good. And it, you know, before we know it, we're going to be talking fall sports. It just goes, man. Days don't go by quick, Matt. As you know, weeks go by quick.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member, always with us Mondays as we talk Southern Indiana sports here on the Hoosier Report. Chad, always fun. Hope to see you Wednesday night. Make sure you come out to that exhibition game, get another look at Romeo in the doghouse, and we'll catch up then.
No question, Matt. Leave that side door prop for me. I appreciate the run.
Chad Gilbert, thank you, Chad. That will wrap things up here for this Monday show. Glad to have you with us. Don't forget, Tuesdays, we have Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Also on Tuesdays, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com. We're going to get into some All-Star preview stuff this week. We look forward to having a lot of guests, some of the coaches and even players surrounding the All-Star game joining us here on the program. Wednesday night, we'll be at the Junior-Senior Exhibition. Lee Kelly and I will have the Boys Junior-Senior game live from New Albany High School if you can't make it out here on the Big X. And then, of course, we'll be following the All-Stars, both the boys and girls, to Bellarmine on Friday night, to Indianapolis and Bankers Life Fieldhouse on Saturday night. And tucked in between all of that will be Silver Creek Baseball at Jasper on Saturday. A very, very busy week again this week as far as play-by-play goes here on the Big X Sports Radio. Don't forget, you can podcast the Hoosier Report on SoundCloud. Just search the Hoosier Report or type in soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can also find us on Apple Podcast as well. It's a great way to catch up with a program or a segment. If you missed us, we're here every day at 11 o'clock and streaming online at bigxsportsradio.com. That'll wrap it up for today. Have a great Monday. Make sure you're with me for Greg Doyle, Mike Pegram tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.